Okay, so we left off with the quarantine. What's your name? Matt, right? Arya. So we left off with Arya's question that the Rambam in Pirkei Avos, right, gives you the whole formula that he tells you if he's a known tzaddik, so you should be done him even if he does something that appears evil. You should assume it's good. If he's a known rasha, then even if he does something that appears good, as long as there's a possibility of evil, you should interpret it as evil. But if it's a person that you don't know, right, then the Rambam says, and the action could go either way, so the Rambam says, in that case, you should interpret it for the good. Okay? So when the Mishnah says, l'kaf schus, it's talking about that case, okay, where you don't know, and you don't know the person, and therefore you should always give them the benefit of the doubt. Okay, but where you know the person, then you always go according to what his nature is, assuming it's possible that the action could be in line with his nature, right? Okay, but then in Hilchos Deos Perek Hei Halacha Zayin, the Rambam also has the halacha of Dan L'Kaf Schus. And there the Rambam says, Shli Yisrachik, he says like this. He says, "Umakdim shalom l'chol adam kidei shetei rucha nocha himenu." The Chacham should always be the first to say hello. And then he says, "V'danas kol ha'adam l'kaf schus." And he should judge every person l'kaf schus. Okay, but there he doesn't specify. He doesn't say Bamed Vamamurim, only a person you don't know, but he doesn't go into this whole formula. He just gives you the one case. So your question was, that's not really true. Dan Kolad Mulkaf Schos. It depends. If the person is a known Rasha, so then you're not Dan Mulkaf Schos. So why does the Rambam give you that those qualifications here in the Mishnah Torah? That's your question, right? Okay. So, did you want to give an answer?
So we'll take Johnny's approach.
Okay. What's Johnny's approach?
That Talmud Chacham is different.
Okay.
The Talmud Chacham should be done even a Rasha on the Kafskos.
Okay.
That's the only difference.
So
if you're Talmud Chacham.
So, I mean, how could he even do that? Because he showed in the in Avos that you can't avoid being judgmental.
Right.
And what does it mean for a Chacham to think that a Rasha is doing something good? It's that kind of Chacham is he?
Right. Okay, but
right.
That's right. In other words, the way we approached it was because we asked a basic question. A person can't distort his knowledge. There's no idea in Torah that a person should go against his knowledge and distort his mind, right? So our question was that what does it mean you should be done a person l'schus? If you know for a fact that the man is evil and that this action's evil, that would be a denial, then you'd be distorting your knowledge. You'd just be making up fictions in your mind. That's not possible. Right? So then we looked at the Rambam in the Avos, right? And the Rambam says that actually Dan L'Kaf Schus is not talking about where you have knowledge. Where you have knowledge, the Rambam says you always must follow your knowledge. And on the contrary, if your knowledge tells you that the man is a Rasha, so then even if the action looks like it's good, you're not supposed to follow the appearance, but you should follow what your knowledge tells you about his nature. So on the contrary, you don't just blindly say, give the man the benefit of the doubt. Okay, and if your knowledge is that the man is a tzaddik, so then again, you don't follow the impressions of the action, but you say that even though it appears to be evil, he must have done it letov. Right? So really, a person should always follow his knowledge. So where is the room to be done l'kaf schus, to give the person the benefit of the doubt? So the Rambam says it's a case where you're lacking the knowledge, where you don't have knowledge of the man, right? Then you should give him the benefit of doubt. But then we asked, that also doesn't seem to make sense to follow a person's knowledge, to follow the knowledge of the mind. Why? Because following knowledge would demand that if I see I don't have knowledge, then I have to say I have to abstain from making a conclusion. That's also knowledgeable. If a person doesn't have knowledge about something, so he doesn't posit something that he can't support with evidence. So therefore, that again would be not an intelligent approach, right? So why does the Rambam say that if I don't have knowledge, I should assume the man did it for the good? No, on the contrary, I should say I don't have any knowledge, and therefore I can't make any conclusion. Right?
We established that because we can't not judge someone.
Ah, that's right. So we said that over here you have a problem. Because in human nature, there is a mechanism. When you see a person, you have images in your mind, and you put a person in a category. You do place a value on the person. So the mind is going to make an evaluation. When you see a person do something, you can't remain just without a judgment. There will be a judgment in the mind, you see? So therefore, what it's saying is, when it says, don him l'kaf schus, give him the benefit of the doubt, it doesn't mean that you should establish in your mind a knowledgeable conclusion that this was the good. That you can't do. You don't know. Right? But what it's saying is, don l'kaf schus is a different kind of evaluation. It means to say that you should make an evaluation in the mind, a tentative evaluation, that I am going to assume, for argument's sake, that this was for the good. That's what a person is supposed to say. That's not a distortion of the mind. Because when he does that, he's saying, this is an assumption that I'm making for the sake of shalom. I'm going to make this assumption, and functionally, I'm going to operate with this assumption. But do I know? Absolutely not. Okay? So therefore, don l'kaf schus doesn't mean you should assume knowledge that you don't have. But it means that there is a mechanism where a person can make an assumption for the sake of the time being, and he could say that functionally I'm going to treat this person as if he did something l'kaf schus, as if he did something good. Okay? And that really is done because a person really has always makes a judgment. And if a person's going to make a judgment, he should assume for the good. You see, he should give the person a benefit of the doubt. That's a different kind of mechanism than saying, I'm saying what this man is, as a definite. Okay? So that, we said, that's a halacha of chassidus, minus chassidus, that a person's tendency is to condemn people. He should go to the opposite extreme and attempt to exonerate them. Okay? So, and we see, even we looked in the Rambam says even a Talmid Chacham is supposed to employ this method. Because even no matter how great a person is, he still has his emotions. His emotions tend to condemn a person. He should go to the opposite. Even a Talmid Chacham. Okay? So, but your question was, why does the Rambam leave out the other cases? When he says that the Talmid Chacham should be Don L'kaf Schus, why does he leave out the cases of where he has definite knowledge? How he should operate in the case of definite knowledge? He leaves those cases out. Right? Okay. So, good. So what? So you wanted to answer that what?
I have a little more now that.
Okay.
It's talking specifically about a Talmid Chacham over here, and it's not talking about everyone.
Right.
And B, it's talking, and this is a halacha of tsnua for him.
Right.
It seems like, I know exactly what the idea is, but it seems like it's, it could be something like this is not talking about the judgments he makes in his mind, this is talking about how he has to,
certain set of ideals that he has to represent among people. So, even the Russia in that case, he has to, when he makes judgments about them, being done in public, not in his mind, but when he's talking about them, then he has to reflect this idea of being done with Hapsus, maybe to combat like what you were saying that people tend to judge people for the bad. He has to counter that idea in a more extreme way, even though it might not be actually correct here. Then it's representing that ideal in a very, very strong way.
Okay. What do you say?
Take the first part and change the end. The Chacham is different because it's not for in terms of his own thinking, but it's in terms of how he presents the ideal to others. And for the Russia himself, the Russia will gain when he sees the Talmud Chacham. The Talmud Chacham almost makes the Russia think that you can't even fathom doing something bad. So when a person sees that like a world view is do good and that's it, then how could he possibly do bad? But it's when the Talmud Chacham displays this type of worldview, then it could be beneficial to the Russia. So it's not in terms of the Chacham's judgment, but in terms of displaying the ideal worldview of life, how it's helpful for people to act.
Okay. And that will benefit people because they'll see that that he has a positive attitude towards people.
Yeah, it's almost like it reminds me of like when it's not really the same, but when parents can't accept that their children do something wrong.
Right.
So that's probably not helpful for good parenting.
Right.
But I would think it's helpful in some way for the kid that they see that. Like what they look up to is always thinking, you know, we're doing the best, we're doing the right thing.
Right.
So it's helpful in terms of where you're going.
Right. I mean, it creates a certain kind of, it gives them a security that they're
like
not...
Good is desirable, good is...
Right.
Is
okay. All right. I mean, it sounds good. I don't know. I don't think I could add anything. Alrighty. But think about it. I mean, it sounds like you have a good approach. Both of you have a good approach. Okay, so should we go a little further? Okay. Alrighty. So we're up to Mishnah Zion. Okay. So it says like this. Nitar Bailey Omer. So he says three things. Oops, definitely three things. Harchek Mishachin Ra. Okay, a person should distance himself from a bad neighbor. Ve'al Tischaber LaRasha. Okay, a person should not join with a Russia, not befriend a Russia. Ve'al Tisyaish Min HaPoranos. Okay, a person should not give up hope about punishment. Okay, he should not lose hope for punishment. it's a strange expression. Okay, I mean, I don't know too many people that are hoping for piranhas. They're hoping for punishment. But somehow or other, the Mishnah is telling you, don't give up hope. Okay? So we have to see what that means. All right?
You just said, don't forget about that there's punishment.
That's good. Don't forget about punishment. Yes.
Because, don't, abandon the idea that you're
gonna... Don't abandon the idea. That's good. Okay? That's a good approach.
Still funny terminology.
Still funny terminology.
Implication is like you, it's like some desire to
have it.
Yeah.
Yes. But it's okay. It's a good approach. Don't forget about it. Don't abandon it. Okay.
Well, punishment is good. We want punishment, because without punishment, then we could go in that direction. Without punishment. We want to.
That's true.
We have no desire to do. We have no fear of doing bad.
That's very good. That's very good. Right. In reality, what you're saying is, I mean, it's a good point. What you're saying is that in reality, it really is something that a person should look forward to. It's not the way a person relates to it, right? What's strange in the Pirkei Avos is that's not the way a person relates to punishment. Because when a person's doing evil, he's obviously far away from the good, and he's fearing the punishment. You see? But the Pirkei Avos apparently is describing the reality of the situation, not from the viewpoint of the chote, but from the viewpoint of an objective observer, that really when a person sins, the most beneficial thing for him is Puranos. It's really the medicine for the disease. You see? So they're speaking, I mean, that's a good shot. The Pirkei Avos is expressing it in objective terms. It would be like if you could transfer the situation of chet to, let's say, illness. A person's ill, suffering, and he's ill, and there's no cure. So you tell a person, don't give up hope. Maybe there'll be a cure. You see, then in that situation, it wouldn't be strange. You see, but in reality, there's no difference. You see, it's strange because from the viewpoint of the chote. Okay. Right? This is a good approach. That's a good approach. It's speaking not from the viewpoint of the chote. That's good. Okay. Okay. Well, let's see. Let's take a look at the first part. But that's a good. That's definitely a good approach. There's a different. The two viewpoints, and the viewpoint of the chote is really a distorted viewpoint. It's a distortion. Yeah.
I was just thinking the pshat this way. I thought it meant like I thought min meant like because of, like, don't give a hope due to being punished, like a person has a tendency, you know, if he keeps messing up, to think, oh, you know, I have no hope of ever becoming better, as he sees himself, you know, getting punished more and more times, then
right. I see. He gives up hope for himself.
Right.
Okay. That's possible. Okay. Let's take a look. Okay. So he says like this. See how it fits in. I mean, let's get the framework of the Mishnah and see precisely how it's going to fit in, if we could. Okay. Okay. So, yes.
General question: when you have a mission where one person says like this, like three things, is the proper approach to look at it that all three are related, or just the Pirkei Avos is just quoting this Tana who said these three things, and they're not necessarily related topics, but it's just it's related only insofar as the author, but not the ideas.
I mean, I would say on the surface, I would assume they're related. Right, that to putting it in a Mishnah, I would assume they're related, that there's some kind of continuity. Okay, but I mean, of course, you never really analyze it that way, because that's not the correct way to analyze. You have to analyze each element separately. Then, if you analyze it properly, you might see the relationship, but you can't really analyze a relationship without analyzing the elements. You know what I mean? So that would be a mistake. In other words, if a person would say, well, start off with, well, what's in common here, that generally speaking is not the correct approach. okay, because you can't analyze commonality before you analyze the elements. Then you can say, oh, now what's in common? That would be the straightest approach. Okay?
But there is a relationship.
It would appear that on the surface you'd say there is a relationship, yeah. Okay. So let's take each element. Okay? So the first one you have is Harchek Mishachin Ra. Okay? So, let's see. Harchek Mishachin Ra. Okay, so you have the Rabbeinu Yonah. Okay? So Rabbeinu Yonah says that what does this mean? This is talking La Socher Batim. Person Vilakona Osam. Person who rents a house or buys a house. Amaro. Kasher Yishal Tchila Bidira Na Uvimkom Ravacha. Just like when a person goes to buy a house. So the first thing he wants to know is he looks into it. Is it a nice house? Right? How much room is there? He investigates the characteristics that he's looking for in a house. I mean, that's the rational approach. Okay? He says, but just like that is the first thing a person does, Kein Yishal Al Hashchinim. Okay? This, not too many people do. They're very rational with regard to the physical characteristics of the house. But Rabbeinu Yonah is saying that the Pirkei Avos is teaching you there's another element that should be equally important, and that is the neighbors. Okay? So, Imraim Yechak Mehem Velatovim Yekrov. Okay? That should be a decisive factor also. In other words, it's an unbelievable house, beautiful characteristics, everything is perfect. But we cannot make a decision based on that alone. Okay, and there's another decisive factor. And people don't ask because obviously they don't consider it a decisive factor. I mean, it's a plus or a minus, but it's not a decisive factor. Okay, but the Rabbeinu Yonah is saying that is a decisive factor. Okay? And the only question is, could we understand a little more what is that factor? I mean, where does Shechinim come into the picture here? I mean, obviously you never want to associate with a person that's harmful, and you want to associate with people that are beneficial, that have ethical perfection, right? But why does it come into the picture? How does this... it seems like you're throwing into house buying an extraneous feature. I mean, obviously, yeah, you always want to... that's always a concern, right? I try to hang out with good people and stay away from bad people. But apparently there's something about house hunting that brings this into the picture very decisively. And I'd just like to understand what is the close connection between the house and the ethics of people around you. That's right. Exactly. Very good.
So you're asking what the Havamina, why would be a thought that we can't...
See, I just wanted to mention one thing. That is a very good point. I mean, it's a joke, but it's a good point, because it shows you what we were saying. The Don Lekaf Schus does not mean that I assert something about somebody else and rely on that and operate based on that knowledge. You see, it's not saying that. You see, I don't do that. In other words, if I'm going to buy a house, I don't say, Don Lekaf Schus. You see, Don Lekaf Schus is just an internal mechanism of how you should treat the person. But it is not an assertion that should guide your action. If you need to act, you need knowledge. You cannot rely on assumption. Is that? It's a good point. It is a good point. And it's quite possible that the two Mishnayos are juxtaposed for that very reason. you know, don the kafschas, but don't act on it. Don't rely on it in terms of action. It should just be in terms of your perception of him, that how you befriend him or how you treat him. But action, that's a different story. Okay? Yeah. Right? I mean, it's a good point. It's something to remember. You know, it's nothing in Torah. There's no such thing as an absolute. It's each thing has its place, and even though it's a dichotomy, I have to be Dalekav Swiss, but, oh, I'm buying a house, well, one second. What kind of I have to be suspicious. So the person has to be suspicious and generous at the same time. There's no one, you can't just rely on a certain kind of attitude. There's no such thing as an attitude. There are actions and judgments. And the attitude is not going to help you. I have to have a happy attitude. Over here, be suspicious. Yeah, get
it. Understanding what the question was, you want to understand what, like, the habamino would be to, like, for Pirkei Avos to tell us, like, why we would need to look out for that if we already know, like...
Well, no, why... Isn't that general advice... In other words, any time I am exposing myself to any person, if I see that the person is, let's say, any time I have a constant contact with the person, so then obviously I have to evaluate, is this a person I want to associate with? Let's say I'm going to go into business. I'm going to do anything. I'm sitting in a classroom. Well, do I want to hang out with this guy? I want to... Any interaction with a person, I want to interact with Tzadikim. I don't want to interact with a Rasha, right? So I just want to understand. But over here, if Pirkei Avos is telling me that when you go to buy a house, find out who your neighbor is, it must be telling you that there's something in this situation that you're not aware of that will draw you into that guy.
Yeah, like, otherwise it would just have taken
Miyadama? I mean, then that's a separate... See, that's like what Joey was saying. That's a separate... That should be a separate mission. Harchek Miyadama?
That's the
okay.
Next line. Altis Chaber in Russia, right?
That's right. Altis Chaber in Russia. Right? Should be a separate thing. Stay away from a bad person. Okay. I mean, it's obvious advice, but fine. It's important. It's fine. Okay. But... When I'm buying a house, I mean, now you're telling me that there is a different kind of advice I need here because I'm engaged in a home. Now, there must be some kind of new element.
It could be that there's just something we wouldn't have thought in going for a home that he then has to come and tell us.
Right, but would we have not have thought it because simply we just don't think of things, and we're lazy in our thinking. In other words, you have to be constantly reminded. You have to be constantly reminded, I don't think that's not the purpose of Pirkei Avos, because Pirkei Avos is a book that's trying to teach you ideas and not just be a reminder of things. A Mishnah has to be a concept. Now, is there a new concept here, or it's just... A person will get carried away with buying a house and forget about the neighbor. Okay, I mean, okay, but if, you know, I don't think you need a Mishnah for that. Then it's not telling you a new concept. You see? A new concept would be that in associating with people, there are different types of association. You see, and now they're showing you a new type. Okay? Okay, but that's what I want to know. What is the concept? Is there something inherent in associating with another person? Is there something different between the association between me and a neighbor and between me and anybody else? That's what I'd like to know. ideas?
To point out a couple differences.
Yeah.
The friendship between a neighbor and a guy that you are becoming close or not becoming close with, you can decide, I live there, but I don't have anything to do with him. For example, I don't know the single one of my neighbors. They don't talk to me. So you would think, what do the neighbors matter? You know, I walk down the street, I'll go to my yeshiva, but what do my neighbors matter?
Right.
So you could easily think that really the neighbors don't matter.
Okay.
Because you live your own life inside of your own house.
Right.
And the mission's coming to tell you that as much as you think that, they really do matter. So I'm not exactly sure, definitively how they matter. But
how they matter, that's
something
right.
One example you can harbor ill feelings towards them if they never say hello to you, or
right.
You can
land dispute.
But the thing is like this. Now, here's what I want to point out, you see, which would make it clear to you what you were asking. You see, if you listen closely to what you were saying, really everything you've said would indicate that neighbors don't matter. Because you said that, look, I live on this block, I have neighbors. What did you say? I don't even know who they are. You see? So everything that you expressed really is showing that I don't have to worry about neighbors, because look, I live on the block, I don't even know who these guys are. So in reality, it's a personal thing. I mean, if a guy's a personable guy and he likes socially mixing with people, yeah, so then he'll know his neighbors, right? But you could argue that the tendency is a person doesn't want to really be that close with his neighbors because he wants to, you know, feel privacy. Your house is where you want to be private. And okay, if I want a friend, I'll get a friend that I like. But just because the guy lives next to me, I may have to be polite. I have to say hi to him. But basically, I'd rather not be that close with him. That I have to, you know, he just happens to live next to me. I don't like the guy, but I got to be polite. Right? So why do I have to not buy this house? Because he might be not such a great guy. I'm not having nothing to do with the guy. So really, it's what you're saying is the exact opposite of what the Mishnah is saying. And really, that's the way a person thinks. A person really does think. I'm not going to buy this house because that guy's no good. I have nothing to do with the guy. That's really what a person thinks. And it's hard to convince a person, this is a great house, you're getting a great deal, but you shouldn't buy it. Why? Because the guy next door is not a nice guy.
If you had nothing to do with him,
I'm nothing to do with him.
You wouldn't. Yeah, it wouldn't matter. The Mishnah wouldn't need to say that.
No, but you can say a few things. One thing you can say is that the Mishnah is telling you that you can think that all you want, but at the end of the day, you cannot dissociate from your neighbors.
Why?
Because it doesn't happen.
You see, we have evidence here. We can support ourselves with
you. That's totally the end of the story. Now I don't like my neighbor because no matter how many times I say hello to him, he won't say hello back.
Okay.
So now I don't like him.
Okay.
So I should have lived somewhere.
Why? It's not telling you that you should pick a house so that you'll have friendly neighbors. It's telling you and that you should have social good feelings about your neighbors. No, it's telling you to protect yourself. If the guy is not a good guy, he'll influence you, and you don't want that. And if he's a good guy, he'll influence you for the good. But not because, hey, if the guy really has no interaction with you, he doesn't say hi, and now you're totally, you don't have to worry about him. Then he's a non-entity.
That's not a good thing.
Yeah, but what you're saying should fall under just all the discovery in Russia, because
means just keep your distance.
Okay.
But you can't keep your distance from your neighbor. It's impossible.
So what I'm saying, let's say like a coworker. Let's say a coworker you don't like, and he never says hi to you. So wouldn't that be the same feeling you have against the neighbor?
Why? Right.
Or anyone who doesn't say hi to you. Wouldn't that be the same thing?
That's right, a coworker. You tell me, don't work in this place, because co-worker, I mean, that's really hard.
Right.
That's true. That's a good point.
Would that be different?
Don't take a job. When you take a job, find out who the guys are. I mean, I don't know. It doesn't tell you that.
Well, you gotta learn the Mishnah, and then you'll apply the idea. You would think that it doesn't matter who you work with. You can convince yourself all you
want. But I would say they should pick that if they want to have a case. the more ideal case would be a coworker. I mean, because how could you, a coworker, you're working with the guy.
He's in your face.
He's in your face. I mean, the neighbor, okay, you know, I'll leave early in the morning and then come back late at night. I mean,
what do you mean? So the neighbor case is a more extreme. The coworker, you're obviously going to be interacting with.
Right. So I would give that case that if you, oh, I see what you're saying.
Then
you mean
this
is
you could
okay. That's a good point.
That
that's a good point.
You have nothing to do with that.
Right. Okay.
But really, you do.
But all I'm saying is true. You're right. You're right. But all I'm saying is that everything you've said, if I would listen to what you're saying, I would close the book and say, yeah, I don't really have to worry because I'll just follow your lead. The guy, you know. I have nothing to do with the guy.
No, but I'm saying the mission is telling you that it's impossible to not have anything to do with your neighbor.
Okay, but I don't, you know, I see what the mission is saying, but I don't see in practice that's the case.
Really?
Yeah, because here, look, you're trying to say hi to your neighbor, and the guy won't say hi back to you,
right,
so that's
now,
it.
Now I have a negative view of.
Okay.
I also just don't think that
he's
the mission.
He's a negative guy. Exactly. He deserves it.
I hope
he doesn't listen to TTL.
He's talking in a way of, like, not knowing.
Just kidding.
Your I don't think, like, the mission.
Yeah, this is like a but obviously it's worse if it's the
I think that
more
that's like
is,
a,
the worse it is.
I don't know. It's
all I'm
I don't think the mission
is
looking at it in that way.
You can think that you can dissociate from neighbors, you can't. So in whatever way he is, he will influence you in some way. Don't think that you can separate yourself.
Okay.
If you want to separate yourself,
you're saying it's
you
a practical
put yourself
thing.
In time
yeah.
that
you're saying it's practical.
That could be like a time nowadays where, okay, there's so many neighbors, but I don't...
No, I think
in the Mishnah, it's not talking about a case where
don't
we don't know.
Right.
I think the assumption of the Mishnah is your neighbor, you know your neighbor. I think
yeah,
that
so
would
be
the assumption of the Mishnah.
It could be worse if you know your
right,
neighbor.
But then that
if
logic...
Evil, then he'll influence you.
Of course, so then
say,
why do you need it? Exactly, so then we're back to our original question, though. But
so
then we're back
to... So let's say you know him. You know him very well, and he's very evil. So you'll say, okay, so I'll live in my house. And then
right, but the Mishnah... But we're
but
back
you
to
know,
our original question.
Neighbor,
what's the difference between this and, you know, separate... Why does the Mishnah specifically need to tell us this?
But the fact that Mishnah's illuminating that... No matter how
you,
much
your
you
finish
can
is
dissociate,
that
if you live next to him, you'll never be able to dissociate.
So let me just say one thing. Okay.
They could go into
no, but your idea is that you want to say that if
I
you
understand what you're saying. That maybe it's not saying that it's impossible not to, you know, to stay dissociated from them. Maybe it's saying you shouldn't put yourself in a situation where you where there's such a high probability that you will associate with them. Like, one of the people who is easiest to become friendly with is your neighbor, the person who's living next to you, because you see them every day, and, you know, like I was thinking about, like, you know, people who, you know, like, in yeshiva, you usually become really good friends with your roommate, you know? You could try to say, like, you know, and, like, if the guy happens to be a bad guy, you could try to say, I'm not going to have anything to do with him, you know, but, like, you know, it's a very, very easy person to become friends with. So, like, a person shouldn't think that, you know, that, he's definitely going to be able to be strong enough, or that this guy is going to have the type of personality that he can stay separate from this guy. Like, why take that chance? Like, if this guy is an evil guy who would be harmful to you to become friends with, then this is the situation that could come out come out of. You know?
Okay.
All right. I think we have to have an assumption up here of how Mishra's talking about a case where the neighbor is somebody that you're going to have to. Deal with, you're gonna have some sort of contact relationship with. So now we're back to the original question: why is the Mishnah telling us this?
Okay.
With that assumption in mind of how a neighbor is somebody that we would have a relationship with.
Right. Okay.
Just say a couple things, and then also Johnny was saying. I think with a house, I think there's two factors that are really important. That one is a certain. With like what Johnny was saying, I think a certain level of permanence and constant interaction that you just can't, I mean, you can't deny that you are going to see this person a lot. And I don't think Ra here necessarily means a like mean person. It usually I think when Pirkei Avos is talking about Ra, it's not talking about someone who's, you know,
socially
mean.
Right.
Yeah, it's usually someone who is, you know,
wrong ideas.
Well, no ideas, like
false
you're
ideas,
like
right?
A Russia kind of,
right?
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Wrong philosophy.
Right. And then, so the other thing I was going to say is that I think when you're talking about a house, I think And I think we mentioned this in a Mishnah a few Mishnahs ago, that like a house, I can't put my finger on exactly, but it's in a lot of ways an extension of yourself and your ego. Like, I think you can't help but like, you know, people like to say, "Oh, I'm from, you know, from this place." Like you relate to like what is your community? What is your block? You know, people always talk about like, "Oh, what block is that?" Like, you know, I think you can't like completely disassociate your own self evaluation from who your shkenim are.
Right.
You know, so you're gonna, if this is what your shkenim are like, you're eventually gonna, you know, you want to be like them. That's one thing. But then it's also not just that you want to be like them because you want to fit in, but it's also that's how you're going to define yourself.
Right. That's right. Exactly. That's exactly right. In other words, you see, the thing is, your example, you see, in your example, it's very good. You said, whatever, I don't know what your friendship is now, but originally you have nothing to do with the guy or whatever it is. You know, you don't know the guy, you don't associate with him, right? But I would ask you one question, okay? Or you have bad feelings towards the guy, whatever it is, I would ask you one question. Let's say you found out the guy was robbed last night. You see? What would you feel? Immediately you'd feel, oh, this is a danger to me. You'd feel different if you found out if that guy was robbed than if you found out some guy a mile away, some guy living in Beach 80th Street was robbed. Why? Because the guy in Beach 80th, nothing to do with you. Not totally separate phenomenon. The guy next door to you, hey, that's my next door neighbor. Ooh, what's happening here? This is not good. We better do something. You see? Why? Because there's an identification. You see? Like Joey was saying, this is my neighborhood. Hey, this is my block. What's happening to the block? This is my block. What do you mean this is your block? You just said a second ago, you live here, that guy lives there. He's totally nothing to do with this guy. Nothing to do with the guy till something happens. You see? Why? Because you have nothing to do with the guy in a practical sense. But emotionally, there's a very close identification. You see? Why? Because what it's teaching you is that there's a mechanism in the mind of identification. That I consider myself one with other people. You see? Now what it's saying is there are certain things that trigger an identification that you don't even know. And one of the things that triggers an identification is makom. You see? Place. If I live in the same place as another guy, somehow it makes no sense, it's a crazy thing, it's illogical, but somehow I feel that I am one with him. And it's an amazing thing that a person wouldn't guess, but it is definitely true. And I'll give you an extreme case that really shows how a person would never guess such a thing, but it is a real mechanism in the mind. Let's say you're traveling somewhere in Europe. In France, you're in France, okay? And you meet a guy, and you say to the guy, hey, where are you from? The guy says, from New York. Oh, you're from New York! Oh! All of a sudden, you're the guy's best friend. Whoa, I don't get it. He's from New York. I mean, what's it got to do with it? You see? But makom, all of a sudden, it creates a bond. It creates an identification. And sometimes, if you're far enough away, you see, if you're on a desert island somewhere, and a guy shows up, and you're looking at the guy, and you want to know, where's the guy from? And he starts speaking English. And you say, hey, the guy's from America. He's from U.S. You could even feel close to the guy. This guy's in California. You're in New York. Nah, you're an American. You're an American. You see? Makom creates an identification between two people that have absolutely nothing to do with each other. But it triggers a mechanism in the mind. So that's what it's teaching you. What it's teaching you is that it's not just mischaber l'rasha, that you shouldn't be mischaber l'rasha. Yes, that is a practical. If I'm dealing with the guy, that's a different kind of thing. You see? But here it's saying, even if you have nothing to do with the guy, You never even say hi to the guy, and he never says hi back. It doesn't matter. If you live in the same makom as a guy, you will definitely identify with him, and it's impossible not to.
Is that identification itself a problem, or is saying that like if you identify with him, then you might be influenced by him, stuff like that, or just saying you shouldn't ever identify with a Russia?
That's a good question. That's a good question, but definitely, it is a problem insofar as what it leads to. Right? If I identify with the person that's a Russia, it means I must sympathize with his ideas. Impossible. You see? But your question is the identification itself? I don't know. I have to think about it. But certainly, the identification has to affect you. You can't identify with the guy but think that his ideas are totally crazy. You can't do that. In your mind, if you identify with him, then you sympathize with the way he lives also. And that's already a harmful thing. You see? And that's something that there is no way. I don't care you don't say hi to the guy, you don't look at the guy, you never saw the guy, it doesn't matter. You see? You will identify with him no matter what. Yeah.
My problem with that is how I don't understand, like, that would be if you're in a good community where you're identifying yourself in that good community, but here we're talking about you could be in a good community and identifying, but there's that one bad guy that's your neighbor. So you could still be identifying yourself within, you know, a great community, but have a bad neighbor.
Right.
That's where it could be, you know, you're identifying your identity. Oh, if you tell someone you're from presumably Farakwe, let's say.
That's right.
Oh, that sounds good. You're identifying yourself as Farakwe, but that's not really, I don't know, that's not what the Mishnah feels saying, because Mishnah is saying you could be from Farakwe, which is great,
right,
but there's still that one bad neighbor that you still have to distance yourself from.
That's right. So that's what I say. The Pirkei Avos, when it gives you statements, okay, it is not giving you practical advice. You see, it's giving you an idea. Not telling you what to do or how to do things. It has to tell you a principle. You see? Now you have to take that principle and apply it. You see? So therefore the principle it's teaching you is, and it gives the case of the next door neighbor because that's the closest. But it's giving you, the principle it's giving you is that the makom has an influence on your mind. You see? Now you have to take that principle and apply it. So obviously, if I say, one second, I have a house here that it's the only house I have in this neighborhood, and the guy next to me is going to be a Russia. But the guy two doors down is Rav Moshe Feinstein. You see? So now it is true, I have to use that principle. I have to say, well, let's see, these are the factors I have to work with. I have to decide what to do. It's not telling you the individual case, but it's giving you a principle that now that I have that principle, I know how to operate. You see? Now I have the tools to work with. Now what do I do? Okay. Now I have the ideas. Let's see how I can work it out. You see? But it can't give you each case, because each case is different. That's how you use your chachma. It's giving you chachma. You see, now you have to take the chachma and use it.
So when it says neighbor, it's talking more of a matter of community.
It's showing you an idea that a neighbor is in a makom, and that makom has an influential thing in your mind. You see? So therefore, just like a person knows, he walks into a house and he says, is it a nice house? Is it spacious? The characteristics of the house. It's showing you there's another feature that you might not notice. And that is the place where the house is. And that place will affect you, your ideas. You see?
How impractical would you say it is?
How
impractical would you say it is? You can say, if you say that it's completely an abstract idea, not practical, then, I mean, maybe this is what it's saying, that you can live wherever you want, as long as you have a makom that you identify with. You can't avoid identifying with a makom, right? That's the idea.
Right.
Right. So as long as you identify with some makom, you pick a makom that you identify with, and you can live anywhere.
No, it's your house. That's the makom. You can't just pick a makom and abstract. It's not your makom.
No, I don't mean abstract. But you say, I moved from Virginia, so my makom is Virginia. So where do I identify with the Richmond community? Where do I practically live here? Like, where do I? What's my makom of identification? Why not?
Certain unconscious thing you have towards the place you're living now.
You know, it's just like you have an identification with Virginia. You could have two identifications. One is not to the exclusion of the other. There's no thing in the mind. I can only have one makom in my mind, and that's Virginia. It's stuck. It's solidified. No, that's certainly you identify with Virginia. But if you live here, you can identify here too.
It's also telling you a practical thing that you can't separate from your neighbors.
That you can't do what?
Separate from your neighbors. That it would be impossible to
psychologically.
Right. You can't just
as long as you're living
there.
As long as you're living there. If you leave, it's possible you could break the identification,
right.
Possible not.
Right.
But yeah, that's what it's telling you. Oh, yeah, there's a practical...
Right.
This idea expresses itself in the practical world. You know, my only point was that it's not telling you a specific.
Right, but that's two different ideas.
It's telling you the idea. Yeah.
It's two different ideas that you have to identify with the makom.
Yeah.
You can't avoid identifying
right.
with the makom.
Right.
And to say that practically, you, no matter how much you want to separate, you will be influenced by your surroundings.
Well, isn't that the same? That's because you identify with the makom. That's why you're influenced.
I mean, it's telling you the root cause. That is true, but the root cause of that is the fact that you identify.
Is it identification?
Like the same thing Johnny was saying.
If there was no identification, then you could, like you say, you could just not talk to the guy. You could work out practically that I won't interact with the guy. If it's just a practical thing, I could work out practically not to interact with the guy. You could argue it's not reasonable, it's not practical, it's not going to work. Okay, fine, but let's say it would work. You'd say, yeah, then the guy avoided the harm. He practically didn't interact with his neighbor. It's telling you no. It's not the practicality. I don't care, you never see the guy once. You live there, he's your next door neighbor, you identify
with him. Even more so, even if he's... If we're saying that the identity of that makom, though...
That's right.
So even if he is bad, if it's the identity of the makom, then you would still be there.
That's right.
Meaning, like, if the general area was a good place and there was one bad
Yeah, there's
guy,
counteracting, right. There are counteracting forces, right. Once we have this principle, we could say that, one second, if the makom is generally good, so then those are my neighbors too, so that counteracts. Yeah, then that's a question of application. But you have to use this principle. Yeah.
I just going to point out one more thing, and then maybe it also distinguishes the situation from, like, a coworker. As a house is a situation where you put your whole family into.
All right.
So, I mean, you can't discount the fact that, you know, when you're applying this, I mean, you have to know, you know, okay, so who are your kids going to play with?
That's true. That's true.
I mean, you can't
that's true.
That.
Identification.
You might be a strong guy.
That's true. That's true. That's right. So that again is a practical application of the idea. Once we have the idea, we'll say, well, oh, makom. So now they're going to identify also. So now I'm influencing them. Right. Exactly. That's right. So that would be an example of using the idea, using your own chachma to amplify the idea and show new applications. You see, but the Pirkei Avos is giving you one idea. That's the idea. Okay. So that's a Mishnah. A Mishnah tells you a concept. It doesn't tell you what to do. Now you got the concept. Now you know what to do. Work it out.
Work?
What's that?
Is that how Mishnah's?
That's how Mishnah works. Yeah. That's. The Chacham tells you the concept, not tell you how to do it. I mean,
you're asking in general or Pirkei?
Yeah, that's how Mishnah works. That's any Mishnah. Any Mishnah is telling you the concept. And the case they give you is to elucidate a concept, but they're not writing, they're not going to give you every single case because it doesn't make any sense. Give me the concept and then I'll be able to figure out the cases. That's an intelligent approach. So that's what the Mishnah does. Not telling you particular, oh, watch out when you buy a house, look into your neighbor is. They're giving you that case to show you an idea. Now you got that idea. Oh, Now you can, you have a universal idea, and now you know 5,000. You could work out 5,000 cases.
So
now you're an independent that.
Looking for concepts.
Concepts. Now it creates with the concept. Now you become an independent. Now you can operate on your own. You see, now you have the knowledge to go out in the world and operate. If they just give you cases, okay, so every time you need a thing, you go, let me see if I can find the case. What good is it? By the time you find the case, are you ready? That's it. Somebody else bought the house. Yeah.
So you said Ramesh was living next to the bad guy. How could Ramesh do that?
There you go. That's it.
He was there first.
He was there first.
And then the other guy was smart enough.
Yeah, he did.